Welcome to Patriots Nation's Pat Wright. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Starting off with the news of the week, FISA was passed by Congress. Corruption, absolutely. And then the Senate has rejected all impeachment charges against the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. And then we're going to talk about reactionaryism on the right, so stay tuned. Enjoy. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwelt in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars, Selah. I say to the boastful, do not boast. I say to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. This is Psalm 75. God abases the proud, but exalts the righteous. For the choir director set to El Teshteth, a psalm of Asaph, a song. And yes, we forget in, I think sometimes we can forget in the Psalms, as I've been going through them week by week, we talk about the judgment of God coming. But I think this obviously speaks of judgment as well, but I think we also can forget the exaltation of God and the recognition of him being wholly other, wholly different, wholly sovereign, only sovereign. And because of that, not only are all things in his hand, but he is to be praised. Because all things are in his hand, because everything, the entire universe is sustained by his power and his power alone. And I think we can say that, but to actually comprehend that is a totally another matter. We look at everything from the human eye, which no one can understand. Every single cell in the human eye is being micromanaged by God. And if not, everything would fall apart. Every atom would fall apart. The electrons, the protons, and the neutrons, and every atom would cease to exist if it were not for God. Completely ceases this. The entire universe would zap out of existence in an instant. And it's because of that that he is to be worshipped. And it's because in all of that, not only have we sinned against God, we have stomped upon his authority, mocked him, laughed at him, dishonored him. Throughout all of that, he chooses to save people for his own glory. And the fact that he would choose to save people who do not deserve to be saved at all is incredibly humbling, especially in light of the power that God has, and his intimate involvement in all of creation for all time. Anyway, guys, this is episode 211 of Patriots Nation, and the podcast is still available on all the normal platforms, Spotify, Beyond Podcast Box, Deezer, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Amazon Music, Player FM, and of course, the video show is available on Rumble, rumble.com/PatWrightOfficial, or on Odyssey, odyssey.com/@PatWrightOfficial. Obviously, links are in the description below, both for the video shows and for the audio platforms. Go check them out. Do it. If you're not subscribed, go subscribe. And then, of course, there's the blog, My Fellow Patriots. It's patwrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. You can get every article that I write directly into your inbox, as well as links to listen to every podcast episode every Monday morning when a new podcast episode goes live at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Monday morning. Again, patwrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. Again, patwrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. Let's jump into the news of the week. There are no graphics for these articles this week. Long weekend. They'll be back next week. But first up, from the Gateway Pundit, breaking, Rhinos win, Americans lose. FISA 702 again passes House by vote of 259 to 128. Here are the 117 Rhinos who voted for warrantless spying on Americans. So yes, so on Monday, April 15th, the House of Representatives passed a motion to table the motion to reconsider HB House Bill 7888, which had passed on Friday to renew the FISA 702s, which would again allow for warrantless surveillance of innocent Americans. So essentially what happens is the bill was technically passed on Friday, and then Representative Annapolina Luna from Florida filed a motion to table filed a motion to reconsider House Bill 7888, which is this FISA 702 ruling, this bill. But on Monday, that motion to reconsider this bill was tabled permanently, so it will not be discussed, and so the bill gets passed. The FISA 702 re-upment bill gets passed, and so the FISA courts and the federal government will be able to continue to spy on Americans based on accusations or suspicions of foreign involvement. So if they think there's a chance that you or they catch through their surveillance of foreign entities, an American gets caught in the crossfires of that, in crossfires of communication, innocent or guilty or not, before or with FISA, the federal government didn't have to get a warrant. They could continue to spy on Americans. If the House of Representatives did not re-up this bill, the FISA courts would be required, and people, the federal government spying on foreign entities, if they got crossed with American citizens, they would be forced to get a warrant signed from the government, from a judge, to be able to continue their spying. And now that did not pass. So Americans will still be spied illegally upon by the federal government. And we know for a fact that according to official intelligence documents, the FBI illegally used FISA 278,000 times to spy on Americans, including people such as President Trump, his donors, January 6 families, etc. And it's bad, it's corrupt, and the GOP is absolutely worthless. And now this is where we're going to piss some people, or specifically, I'm going to piss some people off. One man is basically in all intents and purposes, the leader of the Republican Party. It's not Mike Johnson. It's not the Senate Majority Leader. It's not Laura Trump. It's not the head of the RNC. Who, in all functionality, is the leader of the Republican Party? Donald Trump. The answer is Donald Trump. Is in all functional aspects the leader of the Republican Party. Everything is based around his whims. The votes, even if he's not directly voting, telling people to vote a certain way, specifically, he wants to get things passed. People are going to vote that way because they know that he's going to come after them and back an opponent to them in re-election. Well, who obviously has been spied upon by FISA illegally? Donald Trump. We already discussed this. Well, what did he do when this bill was coming up? Because he was asked about it. When he was hanging with Mike Johnson, and first of all, Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House, Trump did not push for him to get the House Republicans to vote against FISA, as he should have done. In fact, conversation of it never was even brought up. But when Trump was asked about it, guess what he said? People should vote however they feel necessary. No advocating against FISA, even though it's spied against him. And no voting or advocating against FISA, even though it's spied and was used over 278,000 times illegally. Trump, if Trump wants to win the Republican nomination, which he's probably going to win, but if he wants to win the votes of Republicans for November, he better step up as the de facto leader of the Republican Party, because he's absolutely failing. And while it wasn't directly his vote, he absolutely has the political strings within the Republican Party to move votes around and to get something such as FISA to not be passed. This is as much as a failure on Donald Trump's behalf as it is on Mike Johnson and the House Republicans. The 126 Republicans who vote in favor of the continuing and without amending Section 702 of the FISA Act, which was passed last Friday, and then did nothing with the 117 Republicans who voted in favor of tabling the motion to reconsider this bill, which was put forth on Monday, this past Monday. There's a lot of corruption all the way around, and the more and more Trump continues this, the more and more it seems that he is not the right man for the job, not any more. Moving on, next article from InfoWars. Breaking: Senate rejects all impeachment charges against DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Yes. So the Senate voted along party lines on Wednesday, April 17th, to dismiss all impeachment charges against House Republicans brought against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And because Democrats control the Senate, they led a 51-49 vote to adjourn the impeachment trial over DHS chief's refusal to execute his duties to secure the open border. Because the border is a Clower Piven movement. The goal is literally to overwhelm the American system and collapse it by means of overwhelming. And that is being continued by most Republicans and all of the Democrats. Every single one of them in Congress are in favor of continuing this open border and continuing the Clower Piven strategy against the American people and against our country. This is peak corruption at its finest. This is peak revolution at its finest. And unfortunately, the way things are looking, it is very, very likely, due to especially Republican voters and independent voters really being sick and tired of politics and presidential elections and election stuff 24/7, it seems increasingly so that Democrats are going to have sweeping wins, at least at the federal level, in November. Now, obviously, things could change, but the way things are looking right now, a lot of people who pay attention to the polls, and pay attention not just what the polls say, but how the polling is done, and overall trends, are unfortunately very confident that Democrats are going to see a lot of wins at the federal level in November, including very likely winning the presidency and maintaining the presidency, whether it is Biden or not. And so obviously we shouldn't be surprised that the Democrats voted to dismiss these impeachment charges against Alejandro Mayorkas. Again, as I talked about before, they are all in favor of collapse the United States, and most Republicans also are in favor of collapsing the United States, and by means of this, well, by many means, but specifically right now with the border, the Clower-Piven strategy, which, for those who are not aware, is you literally overwhelm the system. A system, computer system, education system, medical system, government, border protection system, entire country itself, economy, there are limits to growth. In terms of, you have so many people coming in, you have so many hits on a website. This is how a lot of website hacking and website takedowns work. You have all these bot servers going and hitting constantly, pinging this website, and it literally overloads the system, and the server goes into protection mode and shutting down a website. The same thing can happen with a medical system. The medical system can only take so much. And with COVID, we saw the medical system for a while. You'd see hospitals overwhelmed at the very, very beginning because they were saying everything is COVID, and it was a clear pivot system because it was overwhelming the hospitals that way. And of course, that faded because it turns out that most people with COVID weren't going to die from it, and it was mild. And so it was the fear that ended up acting as almost a de facto Clower Piven system strategy. And now we see with the southern border, it is overwhelming school systems in the South. It is actually overwhelming school systems everywhere. It is overwhelming homeless shelters literally everywhere. Even Michigan is seeing issues in Detroit and in other northern cities. Where you're seeing obviously an overwhelming of the border patrol. There's simply not enough border patrol agents to deal with this border crisis. And so what we are seeing is a Clower Piven strategy by means of literally overwhelming the system. And as more and more come in, it's going to overwhelm the judicial system. People simply won't be able to process all these criminals, and we're already seeing it. I just saw earlier today, before I started recording, that Lincoln Riley's killer, the illegal immigrant who killed the college student from Georgia, Lincoln Riley, he's been let free from prison because the prison systems literally cannot handle him. There's not enough room and resources. That is the Clower Piven strategy, and it's being played out now, and is continued to be played out more and more as we see Democrats and globalists broadly trying to destroy the United States. It's happening. It's undeniable that it's happening. And this is just further evidence of it. Moving on, next article from Trending Politics. Breaking: Israel launches strike against targets in Iran. Yes. So on April 18th, which is Thursday, this past Thursday, Israel launched strikes on targets in Iran in response to an Iranian drone and missile attack on Israel's territory last weekend. Yes, it was this past weekend. Israel, and I think we talked about on the podcast, launched 300 some odd rockets. Only 150 like even made it towards Israel, and only like one or two rockets actually made it through the Iron Dome, and the only person injured, I believe, was actually a Muslim kid. And then Iran basically turned and said, our conflict is no more, no need to retaliate, consider the matter settled. Obviously, Israel is not considering the matter settled, because it was Iran who was the initial aggressor via their proxies in Hezbollah, Hamas, etc. And so, according to U.S. officials and intelligence officials, it was confirmed that Israel had launched a strike against Iran on Friday morning local time. So it would have been Thursday afternoon, evening, U.S. time, Eastern time. It was Friday morning local time. And as of right now, it's not necessarily clear what the target was, except that we know it's not nuclear facilities as it was potentially talked about when this first launched. It seemed to just be military installations. Although, according to reports, Israel has basically said, if you retaliate Iran, we're going after your nuclear facilities, which is actually a good thing for Israel to do. And so this will, we'll have to see what happens. Does Iran respond? Does Iran respond directly? Do they use their proxies in Hezbollah, Hamas, etc., ISIS, or do they simply shut up and basically quietly admit defeat? Although I think that is unlikely, because Iran is not necessarily one to admit defeat, specifically admit defeat to Israel, mostly because of their vehement hatred for Israel. So, yeah, that happened. Obviously, we'll have to see what happens in the future. Does this, again, involve an escalations that happen? Or is this going to be something that slowly fades and is an occasional back and forth? I'm concerned, though, that it might end up in escalations, but we'll have to see what happens. Moving on, next article from Fox News, actually. We have three things in a row that are really, really bad. From Fox News, Biden dismantles Trump-era Title IX rules, sidesteps issue of trans athletes in girls' sports. Yeah, so basically the Biden administration unveiled new rules aimed to safeguard quote-unquote LGBTQ plus students. And basically, it not only changes the ways in which sexual harassment and assault claims are adjudicated, it also changed the definition of sex and gender in terms of classifying who was a female. The rule used to be you had to be a biological female. Now the new rule is basically is defining sex and gender based on what a person feels instead of what they biologically are. And so technically the NAIA, which is a college sports league and association for generally smaller private universities. You have the NCAA, which is for larger universities for the most part. And then you have the NAIA. And the NAIA, just 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, ruled unanimously to ban transgender athletes from competing in sports, from competing in the sports other than their biological sports. So a man who claims to be a woman cannot compete in women's sports, and obviously vice versa. A woman claiming to be a man cannot compete in men's sports. A man has to compete in men's sports. A woman has to compete in women's sports. So according to this new Title IX rule, the NAIA is in violation of Title IX. Of course, it'll have to be interesting to see what this happens. I have seen no one discuss this in terms of how is this going to affect the NAIA's ruling? How is this going to affect the NCAA in potentially ruling against transgender students from pressure? How is this going to affect a lot of things? Again, because, again, women should not be in men's sports and men should not be in women's sports. And you have lots of injuries when this happens. We've talked about this many, many times before. Transgender MMA fighters, a guy claiming to be a woman, fights a woman, breaks her skull. This has happened numerous times. And so this is going to be really, really bad, really bad in the long run. And there's very likely going to be a lot of lawsuits, both by schools and organizations who want to protect women's sports against the federal government for this ruling, as well as lawsuits from the federal government against schools and organizations which refuse to abide by this ruling, because it's the right because obviously what the organization is doing is the right thing to do, banning men from women's sports and women from men's sports, and what the Biden administration wants to do is, well, destroy both men's and women's sports, as well as implement their social change, their social agenda, and to basically destroy this country. I mean, obviously, that's kind of what their MO is for a lot of things, but it's no less true here. And so it's going to be very, very interesting what happens in the coming weeks and months and years as this policy goes into effect and is likely enforced. Moving to next article from the Washington Examiner, more bad news. House passes $95 billion in foreign aid with support for Ukraine and Israel, ending stalemate. Of course, what the headline is not including is the fact that this aid package includes no funding to the U.S. border. Yes, so lawmakers approved this bill, or within this bill, approved providing $26.38 billion to the Jewish state, which funds will go towards the Iron Dome and the David Slings missile defense system, as well as $3.5 billion towards securing advanced weapon systems and other defense systems. And then about $9 billion is going as humanitarian aid for civilians in conflict zones, including Gaza. Obviously, it's just directly funding Hamas, let's be honest. And then additionally, the bill is also providing a crap ton of money, aka $60.84 billion, towards Ukraine. warmongering. That's what we're doing. Now, I am less against funding Israel because they are an actual strategic ally. And Israel actually ends up buying a bunch of our weaponry. So it's not necessarily total aid all the time. They do end up paying for the weaponry. Ukraine, of course, is just dumping money into a corrupt regime, which is going to get their more and more of their people killed. And, of course, are the ones that are the reason for this war. Russia would not have attacked Ukraine. Ukraine did not make moves to join NATO. That had been known for over two decades. Literally for over two decades, every single foreign policy leader in the world and every nation in the world knew that Russia was not going to make advancements towards Ukraine as long as Ukraine made no moves to join or align with NATO. Well, Ukraine starts making moves to align with NATO, and Russia, after months, actually, really years of telling them to stop this, invaded. Would not have happened if Ukraine did otherwise. But most people don't like to hear that. But yes, so our government is spending a bunch of money for foreign countries without actually funding our southern border. And obviously, I think, on principle, I'm not wholly and totally against foreign aid as long as America is being put first. And that is not what is happening. In fact, Ukraine is being put first and Israel being put fourth. Obviously, I don't support Ukraine. I do support Israel. And so I am less against Israel receiving funding. But my biggest issue with this is that they did not provide funding. And Mike Johnson made no moves to provide funding for the U.S. border and for strengthening the border and demanding that if the Democrats want this foreign aid packages to be passed, that at least $50 billion go towards the southern border. But no. Instead, we're spending money in other countries while, again, allowing the Clower-Piven strategy to destroy America via our southern border. Moving on, last article before we get to the main segment of the show and talk about reactionaryism is from Red State. It's happening. U.S. House passes landmark TikTok ban amid rising data security concerns. And from what I understand, this TikTok ban was actually tied to the vote for the foreign aid packages for Israel and Ukraine, as well as also a bunch of money is going to Taiwan as well, which I'm also, again, less against than Ukraine. But yes, this legislation would basically give TikTok, I think it's like a year or something like that, to sell the company toward to an American company and sever all ties, I believe sever all ties with China, or be shut down. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future. The issue with this is it also gives the federal government the ability to ban any app that they believe has ties and in influence from foreign countries and foreign entities. So if they accuse X of having foreign ties shut down, this could also go towards websites and so they think InfoWars has foreign ties, whatnot, to Russia or whatnot or whatever. They could argue and have InfoWars shut down or anything, X, Gab, etc. So that it is, as I have discussed before, and even though it's been people have denied this, it is true. This bill is essentially a Digital Patriot Act, not as strong as the original TikTok ban would have been, which is actually a good thing, not because I'm against banning TikTok, which I am, but because bills like this are always extremely, extremely broad, because Congress doesn't want us to be seen going after a single company. The difference, though, is that Congress is not going against a a single company, or any single company. They are going against a Chinese CCP-controlled and operated app and a website, social media site. So such targeting is a and such spying by China is a direct threat to national security. So there should be no inability to have a very narrow bill that specifically targets TikTok. It would be well justified, again, because it is a threat to national security. But alas, that's not happening. Because corruption in Congress, both obviously Democrats and very obviously as well Republicans. Let's get to the main segment of the show. And we are discussing reactionaryism, which we have to define. Because I've looked up some definitions, and Wikipedia's definition is just blatantly biased and not fully accurate. Excuse me. Some other websites and things gave some better. It's not for verbatim, but Webster's Dictionary basically talked about, to an extent, it's about it's being against extremism, which also isn't fully accurate. So what is reactionaryism? Being a reactionary is not just about being it's not just blatantly reacting against something. It is reacting against something simply because of that something. Let me explain. Fascism is, in specifically Nazism as under and the Nazism form of fascism, is a reactionary ideology. Obviously, it's a socialist, it's a Marxist ideology, just like communism is. But it was made as such a reaction to communism. And it sees communism, obviously, as evil, but it promotes essentially the same kind of evil, just packaged a little bit differently. Reactionism is also, would be opposite of being principled, in a sense. You are against something simply because a person who happens to be a communist or a leftist is in favor of it. So the big thing, like we talked about last week with anti-Semitism on the right, you see a lot of very liberal people always and leftists constantly calling out anti-Semitism. And so therefore, because the communists are against anti-Semitism, you are against Jews. You are pro anti-Semitism. Pro anti-Semitism instead of being against anti-Semitism, simply because the left is quote unquote in favor of Jews. Of course, as soon as anything around Israel, any conflict around Israel is there, you have the left except words, and even many times in words, calling for the destruction of Israel. And so it shows that they don't actually care about anti-Semitism. They care about leftist policies, and they'll do whatever they can to advance leftist policies. Or like when you see people say that abortion is a Jewish sacrament, which it's not. It's not even a Jewish sacrament. But you have leftist Jews say that, and so therefore you have those on the right, the reactionary right, the dissident right, I guess, saying that Jews are evil because Jews support abortion. Simply because there's one leftist Jew or a few leftist Jews are in favor of abortion. They ignore the leftist part, they ignore the atheist part, they just focus on they're Jewish. That's reactionaryism. You are against something, you are in favor of something or against something simply because the other side is in favor of something. It's not the same as being principled. If I was a reactionary, I would be in favor of supporting a Protestant Franco. I would be a Christian nationalist because the left is against it. That's why many, many Christian nationalists are Christian nationalists, because the left hates it, because the communists, the globalists hate it. When in reality, they don't actually hate it. They are using it as a boogeyman to tie in all conservatives and have them all be defined as Christian nationalists, so they can then allow and give the state access into to monitor your churches, to monitor what your pastors preaching, because you are a domestic terrorist risk. That's what they're going for. Of course, being a Christian nationalist is not actually based on Christian principles. Hate to break you, it's not. It is simply a reactionary movement to the left. It's not based on principles because, again, they in many ways embrace the exact same things as the left, just packaged slightly differently, as fascism was. That's why, just this past week, Gab, Andrew Torba's website, or social media site, literally created a Hitler AI chat box. Like, myself and others had been warning that you have all these Christian nationalists, the dissident right Christian nationalists, embracing a Protestant Franco. Well, the next person up from a Protestant Franco would be Benito Mussolini. And then the next logical conclusion for them to support the most next extreme solution or person would be Adolf Hitler. And we thought, myself and others, said this could be a few months to a year out before they are going to be openly embracing Hitler. And literally that exact same day as we were talking about this, later in the evening, I go on Gab and I see a notice saying that Gab is. Has this new Hitler AI chat box, and you should go use them. Openly aligning and supporting Hitler. That's what they were doing. And it is evil. It is a reactionaryism. It is going to cause as much chaos, as much tyranny, as much evil as the left, just packaged slightly differently. And because most people are, again, not principled, they end up being, or they're not even aware that it's a reactionary position. They just support Christian nationalism because Christian nationalists appear to be fighting against the left. When in fact, by means of fighting against the left, Christian nationalists and the dissident right are becoming they are becoming the left in all functional aspects. Just like with you had Franco in Spain. He came in, his revolution took over through the communists in Spain. Well, he killed just as many people as the communists did after he became dictator. And he did it all under the guise of being a Christian and defending the Catholic Church. He killed basically the exact same amount of people as the communists did in their revolution and their control. There wasn't a reactionary position. There was no a neutral grounds of where freedom was. There was, you don't like the oppression of the communists, join us, we'll overthrow the communists. And then we actually just become the exact same things that we are fighting against. Packaged a little bit differently, but still the same amount of tyranny. That's why some people, and I met someone who was all in favor of Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, even though he was a communist, because they were fighting against fascists in the 80s and the 90s. And then Ortega took over, was great for two terms, and then refused to leave office after the third and really showed his true colors as a communist. And so you had a lot of people who were card-carrying communist party members. They were communists. Actually became disillusioned with communism because they were reactionary. They joined communism as a reactionary movement against the fascists. Until, of course, the communists became the exact same things that the fascists were, just, again, packaged slightly different than the fascists. Because reactionary and reactionary movements... And Marxism, on both sides of the dialectic, are inherently reactionary movements. You're always going to have that tyranny bouncing, just packaged slightly different, back and forth, back and forth. And so we are seeing this exact same thing on the right now. And this is why I think America has no chance of fighting these globalists ultimately, because we have too many reactionaries who are literally just embracing fascism, some of them openly now, and as the solution to the communists. When in fact, they're still Marxists. They're still going to advance the dialectic, the Marxist dialectic between communism and fascism. And we're going to end up in tyranny either way. And ultimately, we're going to end up with what the World Economic Forum is advocating for, which is not pure communism. Not even China is a pure communist country. It is fascism. Communist China is a fascist country. The government controls, there is, quote unquote, a free market, but the free market is controlled by the government. So yes, you, quote unquote, own your business, you make money, you make a profit. But in all business decisions are essentially controlled by the Communist Party, and you don't have any true economic freedom. You have the government and businesses working together in many cases with big corporations, because the leaders of the big corporations are communist members. You're going to have the exact same thing and that's what we had in fascism and with Nazi Germany. You had big businesses like BMW and Volkswagen set up by the Nazis, even as businesses, but worked hand in hand with the Nazi Party to oppress the people. And then you have the stakeholder capitalism, which the World Economic Forum is advocating for, which is the exact same thing. You have business leaders and government leaders working together to oppress people and enrich themselves. That is fascism. Stakeholder capitalism is really communal fascism. It's not pure fascism. It's not pure communism. It is the synthesis of the two. You have thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And through the dialectic and philosophical alchemy, they are fused together. And again, you have thesis, which is communism. You have antithesis, which is fascism. And back and forth, reactionaries fighting against each other. One regime is fascism for a bit, overthrown by the communists, back and forth. You eventually, supposedly, synthesize into the utopia of stakeholder capitalism. That's what they're advocating for. It is no utopia. It is only a dystopia of tyranny. And that is where we are heading. That is why you have to reject reactionaryism. You have to embrace classical liberalism. You have to embrace principles of freedom. And you cannot use Christianity as a tool to oppress people for your own gain, which is what Christian nationalists are advocating for. And you obviously can't be on the side of the communists and the globalists, because they want the same kind. They want the tyranny just packaged slightly differently. It's still tyranny any way you fry it, guys. You want to advocate against both of those. Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please follow my podcast and share it with your friends and family. They'd be greatly appreciated. Follow my Gab, Cloud Hub, Getter, and Frank Social, Pat Riot Official, Truth Social, Pat Riot _Official. I will see you guys next week. God bless y'all.